Good morning. A warm welcome. Nice to be inside. Welcome to Quinton Baptist Church. Today's flowers have been placed by the family in loving memory of Janet Ireland. Don't forget Christmas Eve candlelight services Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. Today, during the Sunday school hour, our children will be presenting the Christmas story. All are invited and encouraged to stay and enjoy the program. They've been doing a lot of hard work, so let's stay and enjoy the program. There's a big New Year's Eve bash going on, so look for the details in your bulletin. And please see the note of appreciation. And today's the last day for the Christmas card table. Please make sure to put something in a little red box for the postage. That is all we'll take time for today. Please check your bulletin for the details.
Good morning and Merry Christmas. Let's begin our service in prayer. Father, as Mary had said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. We are here today, Lord, because you have done great things for us, and your name is holy. May we as one body this morning come to you in honor and praise and worship to you, our one God. Amen.
Today, we light the angel candle. It focuses on the message of joy, which the angel announced. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.
The Bethlehem candle, the shepherd's candle, and the angel candle.
Throughout the Advent season, we've heard beautiful names and descriptions of Jesus: Emmanuel, God with us, Savior, Christ. In 1 Timothy 1:1, Paul describes Jesus as his hope. Jesus didn't just come to bring hope. He is our hope. And let's celebrate that hope this morning. Please stand as we sing together.
See a star shine, and its splendor fills up the sky. It's the same that appeared and the wise men revealed when hope was born this night. Out upon the snowy field, there's a silent peace that heals, and it echoes the grace of our Savior's embrace.
Toward death, and all of the world's sin.
seated.
Lord, we do just praise you this morning for the opportunity that we have to gather together to worship you, to rejoice in this holiday season and what it means to us, Lord, that you, the King of creation, the one who holds the world in your hand, would come to this earth, God with us, Emmanuel, Lord, that you would be born as a baby, that you'd rise into a man, that you would come for us on a rescue mission to rescue us from our own sin and darkness. And Lord, we rejoice in the fact that because of what you did, because of what Christmas is, because of what Easter is, that we have forgiveness of our sins. And Lord, we get to gather before you as people who are saints, who are forgiven, who are believers and redeemed people. And Lord, we rejoice in that this morning. We rejoice that we have not only a creator, but a redeemer, a savior, who's Christ the Lord. And Lord, it's in his name that we gather together this morning, and we bring these requests before you. Lord, I do pray for Mimi or Zari, Lord, as she is just dealing with shingles and an infection. Lord, we do just pray for healing for her. We pray that you would ease the pain that she's going through. Lord, we pray that your grace would just abound to her. Lord, we do pray for Maeve. Lord, we praise you that she is doing better. Lord, we do just pray for complete healing for her. Lord, we do just pray that you would ease the pain that she's going through as well. Lord, we praise you that Terry has received just good news on how things are going. Lord, we rejoice with her that everything's going well. And Lord, we do just pray for complete healing. Lord, we pray for the next steps that she has with the doctor. Lord, I know she's got another doctor's appointment coming in the new year. Lord, I pray that everything would go well with that. Lord, we pray for Fred Peterson. Lord, as he's just dealing with different things with the doctors. Lord, we pray for wisdom for the doctors, wisdom for him. Lord, I know that he's got meetings and procedures coming up. Lord, we do just pray for him as he goes through all of that. And Lord, we do just pray for our church during this Christmas season. Lord, we rejoice in the fact that we get to spend time together, that we get to gather together, that we get to celebrate even on Tuesday, Lord, the Christmas Eve service. Lord, we get to spend time just rejoicing in your name. But Lord, we do just pray that it would also be a time that our church would look to you. Lord, our church wouldn't get self-focused or wouldn't turn just towards the social aspect of anything. Lord, church is not just about the fellowship, although there's fellowship in there, Lord. But we pray that it would be a fellowship with a purpose, Lord, and that purpose would be honoring and glorifying you. Lord, I pray that would shine through for all of everything that we're doing, Lord. And I do specifically pray for the Christmas Eve service on Tuesday, Lord, that it would just be a time for honoring and glorifying your name. And Lord, we rejoice in your name this morning, and as we continue the service, Lord, we pray that your name is lifted up, that you are magnified, that you are exalted because of what you've done for us. We thank you and we praise you this morning. Pray these things in your name. Amen.
Jesus. From heaven to the cradle, from cradle to the cross, let heaven and nature sing, this is our King. But the grave couldn't hold him, our God has overcome. Let heaven and nature sing, this is our King. From heaven to the cradle, from the cradle to the cross, let heaven and nature sing, this is our King. But the grave couldn't hold him, our God has overcome. Let heaven and nature sing, this is our King. All hail the King, all hail the King, all hail the King. Glory be to you alone, King.
Continue our worship together as we sing these next few songs. Children are dismissed for youth church. Please stand.
Come.
Please be seated.
This morning's scripture reading will be from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these thoughts and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Well, good morning, everyone. I haven't actually had a chance to say, you know, Merry Christmas, or a couple more days, Merry Christmas to everyone here. Good to have everyone here this morning. Let's open up with prayer, and then we'll jump into God's word this morning. Lord, we praise you for the opportunity that we have to gather before your word. And Lord, we know that your word has power, Lord. It's living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord. And I pray that it would pierce us this morning. I pray that we would hear your word, that we would apply it to ourselves, that we would leave as transformed people because of what you have for us. Pray these things in your name. Amen. You know, it's really a special moment when you get to meet a baby for the first time, right? When you know, a new baby comes to the world and you get to go visit the baby for the first time. I know that when Dakota was first born, we had my parents and my in-laws and I believe my sister and maybe even my grandparents, I'm not sure. We're in the waiting room waiting for Dakota to be born. And then when she was born, within literally an hour of her life, they all got to come in and they got to see the baby for the first time. And there was this joyous, special occasion. Unfortunately, when Griffin was born, it was in the middle of COVID and nobody was allowed in the hospital. So it was a little bit of a different experience because nobody got to meet Griffin until he came home from the hospital. But when he came home, we had this joyous then moment with everyone who came to see him. And, you know, it's really special to have that moment. But as a parent, you know, you want those moments to be with the right people, right? You want it to be like with your parents or your grandparents, right, or family members. You don't just want anybody showing up to say hi to the baby. Well, what we're going to see this morning is some of the first people to visit baby Jesus, Mary and Joseph, were not exactly just special people. In fact, they were quite the opposite. They were as ordinary as you could have. They were a bunch of shepherds who were out, and they heard about the baby. We're continuing our series that we started a few weeks ago, going through the Christmas story, and we're looking at it from the perspective of different people. And 2 weeks ago, we talked about the Bible story from the perspective of Zechariah. And then last week we talked about this perspective from Mary and how she was the favored servant of the Lord. But what we're going to talk about today is the story from a different perspective. It's the perspective of the shepherds. Now for Zechariah and Mary, the story actually took place before Jesus was born. If you remember the past couple weeks, we've been before Jesus was born. And then In the beginning of Luke chapter 2 is the story of when Jesus was born, and we're actually going to kind of skip that story, and we're going to jump to what happened immediately after Jesus was born. And the focus of the story suddenly shifts from Jesus being born with Mary and Joseph to a group of shepherds. And we're going to focus on those shepherds this morning, and we're going to see what they experienced this morning. And we're going to see something very specific, that although they were ordinary, and their lives were quite ordinary, they were transformed by the extraordinary nature of the Christmas story. So let's start by, first of all, looking at the shepherds themselves, that they were quite ordinary shepherds. In Luke chapter 2, verse 8, this is what it says. It says, "In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night." And the focus of the story really comes to the shepherds, and that's pretty much all the introduction that we get to these shepherds. We're not told much about them. We're not told how many there are. We're not told really anything about them, just that they were out in the field keeping watch over their flock. Now, shepherds were people who were responsible for taking care of sheep, right? They were people who raised sheep. They were back then pretty much the definition of the blue-collar worker, right? Today we have the term blue-collar job. They would be like the definition of a blue-collar job. It was not a glamorous job. It wasn't anything special. In fact, in verse 1 of this chapter, we're introduced to people like a king, and then in verse 2, we're introduced to a governor, and those are people that would be special, right? Those would be the high-end jobs, the rulers. But these guys are just your everyday workers. When you're a shepherd, it's a very difficult job because there's no time clock. You don't punch the time clock to check out at the end of the day. You work all day and all night taking care of the sheep. You have to watch over the sheep. You have to lead them to where they can graze, lead them to a place where they can drink some water. You have to kind of count them to make sure you haven't lost any of them every so often. And it doesn't end at the end of the day. You keep watching them into the night, right? You don't really get to go home. You're still with the sheep. You're keeping an eye on them throughout the night. It wasn't exactly a glamorous job. Another thing about being a shepherd is it wasn't exactly a clean job, because you spent all day with a bunch of dirty sheep and stinky sheep. And typically what ended up happening was you would end up starting to stink yourself. And you didn't get to go take a shower at the end of the shift, right? You don't get to go home, take a bath. While you're with the sheep, you're with the sheep, which means you live with the sheep and you spend your time with them. Good, bad, and all. But they're sitting here, and this is really an ordinary night for them. It is really nothing special for them happening at this night. You wonder what they were doing out in the field, what they were talking about. You know, were they talking about, is there food, or what are we going to do today, tonight? Maybe there's stories about what happened during the day. Hey, this one sheep kind of did this thing that I thought was really funny, or something along those lines. You don't know, but it was just an ordinary night for these shepherds. Now, what's interesting is in the Bible, and throughout the whole Bible, shepherds are actually used quite often. A lot of characters from the Bible are shepherds. The first shepherd that we know of is Abel, who made the right sacrifice to the Lord. But then we're told that Rachel, the one who became the wife of Isaac, she was a shepherd, that Moses spent 40 years being a shepherd. We're told that David was a shepherd before he became king. Jesus refers to himself as the good shepherd. And there's actually quite an emphasis on shepherds throughout the whole Bible. And you wonder why such an emphasis on shepherds. And there's probably a few reasons to that, that they were responsible for leading, that they were responsible for guiding a group of sheep. But I think that part of the other thing about it is that it was just an ordinary job. It was just the normal person. There wasn't anything super special about being a shepherd. Everyone knew who the shepherds were. And this is where they were. And they were gathered here at night. We don't know if there were multiple shepherds over one flock or if they each had their own flock, but they kind of brought them all together at night so that they could kind of take shifts in who was watching the sheep. But they're gathered here in the evening, here in verse 8, and they're getting ready for an ordinary night. And suddenly that night is going to change. And the extraordinary is going to enter into the middle of the night. Let's read about the extraordinary. It's an extraordinary angel. In verse 9 it says, And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Suddenly, their night had changed, because an angel appears to them. Now, angels are, again, if you've been following the series, they're a recurring theme throughout the series, but this is interesting because this is the first time the angel isn't mentioned. With Zechariah and with Mary, when an angel visits them, we're told who the angel is. It's been Gabriel the past couple times. But we're not told who this angel is. Now, it might have been Gabriel, or it might have been another angel. We're not quite sure. But this angel appears to them. And then it says something very unique. It says, "At the glory of the Lord shone around them." What's the glory of the Lord? The word glory typically refers to honor, recognition, fame, or magnificence. It's typically what we would call an invisible attribute, right? It's something that somebody can have, that they can have glory, but you don't see glory. It's kind of like somebody being smart. You don't actually see the smartness on them. You might see some of the results of them being smart as they do things, but you don't actually, they don't look smart. There's nothing about an appearance. And glory is kind of the same way. It's kind of an invisible attribute to some that somebody can have. But not with the Lord. With the Lord, glory is a little different. Because with the Lord, there's so much glory that it starts shining. God's glory itself shines. And we see this throughout the Bible. We see when Moses goes up on the mountain in Exodus chapter 33 and 34, that God's glory is on the mountain and it shines in the mountain. And God's glory itself is shining. And then when Moses comes down from that mountain in Exodus chapter 34, it says that his face is shining because he had taken in the glory of the Lord. And that glory became a shining feature. In Matthew chapter 17, we see Jesus transfigured before Peter, James, and John, and he starts shining the glory. In Revelation chapter 21, we're told about the new heavens and the new earth, and in verse 23, it says that there's not going to be a need for the sun because God's glory is going to shine so bright that it's going to light everything up. And glory suddenly becomes this visible thing, this shining bright light. And that's what happened here with the angel. The angel appears and this glory shines around all of the shepherds. And what's the response of the shepherds? It's fear. They get afraid. They start panicking. And that's the typical response that people have when they encounter angels. Now, I will just tell you a story from this week. JV was actually teaching a similar story to the children and Olympians on Wednesday night. And she told the children that the shepherds got scared when they saw the angels. And all the Olympian kids, they start saying, "I wouldn't get scared. I wouldn't get scared. I wouldn't get..." And JV, and I was in the back of the room, and JV kind of looked at me, and she's like, "Yeah, you would. If an angel appears, you're going to get scared." You know, oftentimes we think of angels as these beautiful, gentle creatures that are playing a harp. But that's not typically what we see in the Bible. Now they are beautiful. There is something beautiful about them. But just as beautiful, there's something terrifying about them. There's something that makes people afraid when they see it. And this is what comes to these shepherds. And then we have this awkward moment where some of the most ordinary people are getting to experience one of the most extraordinary events at the same time. That ordinary shepherds and extraordinary angels come together. And there's this clash of that. And, you know, in life, that's kind of how things work as well. We live in what I would call an ordinary, extraordinary world. In a very real way, we live in an ordinary world, right? We wake up in the morning, we go to work or to school, and we have our day there. We come home, we eat dinner, we maybe watch some TV, and then we go to sleep at night, and we wake up tomorrow, we do the same thing, and we kind of get into this rut of, like, this is ordinary life. We drive in a car to go to work and go through all of this stuff, and life can feel quite ordinary. In fact, oftentimes we kind of wait for that moment where we get to experience something that's out of the ordinary, like a vacation or a holiday coming up this week or something like that. And it's something that breaks the ordinary part of life. But in most of life, we live in the ordinary. But we also live in the extraordinary. And I think that oftentimes we fail to realize how extraordinary the world that we live in is. Because God is here in our world. He is living among us. And his spirit is going out and indwelling believers. And we have the spirit of God within us. In Ephesians chapter 6, it goes on to say, in verse 12, it says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." This is what we battle with as believers on a regular basis. This is not ordinary. When you read that, that should be one of the first reactions you have, is like, this is not ordinary. This is extraordinary. And this is the world that we live in. And I think too oftentimes we can get caught up in the ordinary so much that we forget about the extraordinary, that we forget about the world that we are living in. And we need to be aware that the world that we're living in is extraordinary. In VBS, one of the things that they do is they look for God sightings. And God sightings is really just another way of saying, let's look for something extraordinary in the ordinary world that we're living in. Let's look for moments where God breaks through, where something extraordinary happens in the midst of our ordinary world, so that we can, for that moment, move past the ordinary and see the extraordinary. And we need to live like that. We need to live remembering that our life is not just ordinary. We live in an extraordinary world because God is in the world. So then what's the next step from here? So the ordinary shepherds encounter this extraordinary angel, and this extraordinary angel gives to them an extraordinary message about an extraordinary baby. Let's start reading in verse 10. It says, "And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" So the angels come to the shepherds, and they've got this huge message. They say this, they call it good news of great joy. Now, the phrase good news was actually a common phrase in the Roman world to describe when a messenger would be sent out by the emperor to declare things to all the people. He would come to them saying, "I've got good news," and he would use this exact word. "I've got good news for everyone." But the angels add on to that phrase. They say good news of what? Great joy. Oftentimes during Christmas time, we talk about joy and the joy of the season. And typically, people tend to be happier around Christmas time. In fact, just yesterday, Dan and I were at the mall shopping, which is a dangerous thing to do the weekend before Christmas. But we were doing it anyway. And everyone's wandering around. But a lot of people are happy, right? Because it's exciting, right? It's an exciting time of year. There's a lot of happiness here. But the joy of the season has not come from running around a mall shopping. It doesn't come from, you know, opening presents on Christmas morning. The joy of the season comes from this news that the angels have. They say it's good news of great joy. This news is the source of joy this season. And then they say something very interesting about it. It says it's great joy that will be for who? For all the people. And that's why these angels are here with the shepherds. Because it's not just news for the important people. It's not just news for the kings or the rulers or the wealthy people. It's news for all people. And, you know, they know that if they went to some of the rulers wouldn't reach out and tell everyone about this. So they go to the ordinary people. They say, this news is for you. So they bring this news and they say, it's for you. And then it's extraordinary news. And here's what it is. It's this announcement of a baby, right? Now, we love doing baby announcements, right? In fact, in today's world, there's a whole industry about announcing babies and how you go about doing it. I Googled it online, and within seconds, I found two articles. One was 60 ways to announce your baby, and one was 55 ways to announce your baby. And I was like, all right, I've already got over 100 ways you can announce a baby. There's a lot of different ways you can do it. I remember when we first announced Dakota. The way we did it was, it was actually Mother's Day at church, and Dana went to church wearing a Mama Bear shirt. And at first, nobody noticed. In fact, the pastor's wife went up to her and started a conversation with her without looking down at her shirt. And like halfway through that conversation, she kind of noticed the shirt, and she was like, "Does that mean what I think it is?" And all of a sudden, it clicked. And that's how we announced Dakota to the people at our church. And it was this exciting news. You know, to be honest, as more kids happen, the announcements get less and less thrilling. Eventually it's like, yeah, our third one's on its way, right? But there's something exciting about announcing a baby, and that's what these angels are here to do. They're here to do an announcement of a baby. Now, there is absolutely no way that I could have ever matched this announcement, right? Because I don't have angels. So this is probably one of the most fantastic ways you could ever announce a baby. And they come and they announce this baby, and they say, unto you is born this day in the city of David. And then they describe this baby, and they say, first of all, it's a savior. It means it's going to rescue people. Now, we know from the way the rest of the book of Luke plays out that this word savior doesn't mean savior from some political authority or savior from something small, but savior from people's sin, that our own sin that we have in our lives. He's going to rescue us from our sin. He's a savior. And then it goes on to say he's Christ. And the word Christ means the Messiah, the one from the Old Testament who was predicted to rescue Israel and lead Israel. And then it adds this one word. He's Christ the Lord. It's the Lord himself who's being born as a baby. And then to top it all off, as if that wasn't a fantastic enough announcement, the angels then joined by a whole host of other angels. Now the word host means an army. So an army's amount of angels, which is a lot of angels. I don't even know how many it is. But they all gather together and they all start singing this song of praise, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And they sing this song of praise and they disappear. And the shepherds are left completely amazed by all that they saw. It was this extraordinary message about an extraordinary baby. But then there was this little thing about it. Where was it born? In a very ordinary place. This is what it says in verse 12. It says, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Where's the baby? Wrapped up in what would be just loose cloth and lying in a manger. A manger was a place where the animals ate. This wasn't a super special place for a baby to be placed. In fact, it was an incredibly ordinary place for a baby to be placed. And this extraordinary message of a baby gets placed in this ordinary manger. Now, we're told from the earlier verses that Mary and Joseph had just traveled to Bethlehem, that they had traveled a long distance to Bethlehem, and that they were trying to find a place to stay, and they couldn't find a place to stay, and eventually they found this kind of back-end place that they were able to stay, and they didn't have any special place for them to stay, much less for them to place their baby right after he was born. So they get what they had available, right? Now, in today's world, right, we have these things called pack-and-plays that are great. We can take them anywhere. We can kind of like take an entire crib, fold it up into this little thing, and then carry it somewhere. But back then, they didn't have that. So when a baby's born, they need a place to place the baby. So they found this manger, and they lay the baby in a manger. Once the shepherds are gone, in verse 15, it says that the shepherds start looking. It says, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. They go and they look, and what do they find? A mom, a dad, and a baby in a manger. It's incredibly ordinary. In fact, it didn't necessarily look anything special at that moment. You know, it wasn't like Jesus at that moment was glowing. You know, the way we often have pictures of that event, the way people often picture it is, right, with his glowing halo above his head, maybe some angels in the background praying. This glowing moment where, like, the flowers are opening up in the background, that wasn't happening. Jesus didn't start doing magic tricks for him. He didn't start speaking wisdom at that moment. He's a baby. And that's what they got to see. The God of the universe becoming a baby and being laid in an ordinary manger. Now, it's important for me to say this. He was laid in an ordinary manger, but he was not an ordinary baby. One of the commentators that I read, his name is Daryl Bach, he says it like this. It says, Jesus is important not because of the setting of his birth, but because of who he is before God. That Jesus is important and special in this story, not because of where this story took place, but because of who he is. And this ordinary-looking baby would go on to do extraordinary things and change the face of the entire world. The reason that we celebrate Christmas is not just because of what happened on Christmas Day, it's what happened after Christmas Day. That baby grew into a man, Jesus Christ, who lived a life without any sin in his life. He performed miracles. He preached God's word to people. He did great things. And then he went to a cross. And he died on that cross to pay the penalty for our sin. He died so that we could live. And then 3 days later, he did something else extraordinary. He rose again and conquered sin and death once and for all. You see, here's the truth of the matter. Each one of us are sinners. The Bible says that we've all sinned. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and we've failed the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says that there's a result of that sin, and the result of that sin is death. It's separation from God. But God loved us anyway. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates his love in this, that while we are sinners, Christ died for us. The extraordinary message here is that we are sinners before God. That sin separates us from God. But God loves us anyway. And he sent Jesus into the world. And he died on the cross to pay our penalty. The Bible says if we believe in him, we can have forgiveness of our sins. We can have life with God, peace with God for all of eternity. And all that it takes from us is believing and placing our faith in him, turning to him for the forgiveness of our sins. It's not based on anything that we've done, anything that we've earned, anything that we deserve. It's based on his grace and his mercy and the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the most extraordinary message that any of us have ever had. That is the message that changed my life. If you have not believed in that message, I would encourage you, look into it more. Today's your chance. Believe that message, that Jesus died for your sins so that you could have forgiveness of your sins. That is the most extraordinary thing you could ever do in your life. If you ever want your life to be extraordinary, this is extraordinary. And this is what made Jesus so special. That he's God who became man. He's Emmanuel, God with us, who rescued us from our sin. That is extraordinary. So how do we respond to such an extraordinary message? How do we respond to such an extraordinary baby? At Christmas time, how should we be responding to such an extraordinary story that we talk about and we say that this entire season is wrapped around this moment? How should we respond to that? And I want to show you two ways that the shepherds responded to it. The first way is by telling people. The second way is by praising God. Let's read starting in verse 17. It says, when they saw it, it being the baby lying in a manger, when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. After they get the chance to see the baby, the first thing that they do is they start telling people. They say they told all those around them what had happened to them. They said, hey, guys, we were out in the field and an angel appeared to us. And an angel gave us this message and the angel was joined by other angels and they were all singing praise and glory to God. And they told us to come here and see this baby because this baby was going to change the world. And they told everyone that message. Now, imagine being somebody else at that scene. You must think the shepherds have been out in the field a little bit too long. Right? They come in with this huge message for you. And the angels, the shepherds may have looked foolish even saying this message, but they didn't care at this moment. because they had experienced something extraordinary. And when you experience something extraordinary, that you don't care how strange that makes you look, because you need to tell somebody. If you've ever had something amazing happening in your life, you just feel the need to tell someone, right? It's almost like if you don't tell someone, it's like, did it really happen? But you have to go and you want to tell somebody. You want to tell somebody that you care about. And that's what the shepherds wanted to do. They said, we have to tell somebody about what happened here. And they tell about this extraordinary event. Do we tell about the extraordinary events in our lives? And I'm going to point to one specific. Do we tell about the extraordinary God who rescued us from our sin? Are we quick to tell that story? Is it extraordinary to us? Because if it's extraordinary to us, then we should immediately want to tell someone. We should immediately want to say, somebody needs to hear about this story. I think one of the reasons that we don't tell our testimony, we don't share the gospel as much, is because we are so bogged down by the ordinary that we forget how extraordinary this is for us. You know, we get so bogged down by things that are ordinary in our lives. Even here, sitting here this morning, you might be thinking about the rest of your day. You might be saying, well, what's for lunch? What time does the Eagles game start? It's 1 o'clock, just let anyone know. What time does the Eagles game start? Or maybe there's a project that you want to get done at the house today, so you're thinking through that project, or you're getting ready for work tomorrow, saying, you know, I'm trying to get ahead so that I can take Wednesday off, or whatever. Maybe your mind is consumed by the ordinary things in life. And sometimes the ordinary things get so caught up in our head that we forget about the extraordinary things. We forget about the things of God, that he rescued us from our sin. And if we get empowered by just the reaction to that message in our lives, then I think we'll feel the need to tell people. We say, I can't just keep this news to myself. I've got to go out and I've got to tell someone what God has done for me. And the second thing that happened was they praised God. In verse 20, it's interesting. It says the shepherds returned. They went back to the field. I don't know who they left at the field, if they had maybe like left one shepherd who was low on the totem pole or something like that, or if they just abandoned the sheep entirely. But they went back to the field, and they returned to the ordinary life. But they returned as changed people. And as changed people, they returned doing something different. They were glorifying and praising God for everything that had happened. The end result of all of this was praise and glory to God. When your life gets transformed by the extraordinary, when something extraordinary happens in your life, you praise God, right? You turn around and say, wow, God, look at what you've done in my life. And you say, oh, he needs praise, he needs honor, he needs glory from what happened here in my life. And that's what the shepherds did. They said, our lives are changed because of what happened. That they were going to be speaking of this night for the rest of their lives, right? They were going to tell this night to their children, to their grandchildren. They were going to want everyone to know this night. And they didn't do it so that they would receive anything special. It was to praise, to honor, to glorify God. When the ordinary encounters the extraordinary, there's no other natural response but praise. And God has done extraordinary things for us. We need to be quick to praise God. So here's the end of the story, right? A group of ordinary people come across an ordinary manger where they encounter an extraordinary baby. You know, earlier in the service, we did a special music with the band, and the song was called Manger Throne by Phil Wickham. And it really sums up a lot of what I'm saying. In verse 1 of the song, it says, you could have stepped into creation with fire for all to see, brought every tribe and nation to their knees. Arriving with the host of heaven in royal robe and crown, the rulers of the earth all bowing down. But you chose meekness over majesty and wrapped your power in humanity. Verse 2 says it like this. You could have marched in all your glory into the heart of Rome, shown them splendor like they'd never known. But you wrote a better story in humble Bethlehem, creator of the arms of common men. The ruler of creation came to ordinary people. And that's good news for us because we're ordinary people. Each one of us are just ordinary common men. But the king of creation came for us. And then the result of that, in the chorus of the song, And this is how I want to end. This is what he says in the chorus. Glory be to you alone, a king who reigns from a manger throne. My life, my praise, everything I own, to Jesus the King on a manger throne. Let's pray. Lord, we praise you that although you could have come to the world in all your magnificence, you chose to come ordinary. You chose to come in a manger. Lord, you did that because of love for us. Because the story of this Christmas message is not a story for the important people only. It's a story for all of us. The ordinary people. And Lord, our only response to that is to praise your name, to glorify you for all that you've done for us, and to tell people about it. And Lord, I pray that that's what we would do this Christmas season, that we would tell people about the extraordinary thing that you've done in our lives. That we wouldn't hide it to ourselves, that we wouldn't get so caught up in the ordinary that we would forget about the extraordinary. And Lord, I pray that we would respond to that extraordinary thing that you've done to us with praise and honor and glory to your name. Lord, you're the one who's deserving of all things. We praise you and we thank you. Amen.
Let's respond now to our extraordinary Savior by giving God the glory. Please stand as we praise him together.
Angels, angels in the night, angels, angels from on high, messengers of grace, messengers of love. Angels fill the skies, angels from the highest heights, glory all around, heaven reaching out, the song we never heard, how beautiful the sound, singing Gloria.
Singing glory.
did just want to remind everyone that following the service, we're going to have a little bit of time to rearrange the stage and everything, a little time of fellowship, but then we're going to be starting in just a few minutes a Christmas play that the children are putting on. Really exciting, really a great opportunity to support the children. I'd encourage all of you guys to stay. You're all invited to stay and to be a part of that, take it in. I did also just want to invite you all out on Tuesday night. I don't know if everyone here has heard, but Tuesday night we're having a Christmas Eve service here at the church, 7 o'clock. It's a candlelight service. It's a great time. It's one of my favorite services that we do every year. And I would just encourage you, if you're not doing anything, to come out on Tuesday night. We'd love to have you out for the candlelight service. And Lord, as we go out today, Lord, I pray that our lives would be changed by you, the extraordinary God. Lord, I pray that we would praise you, that we would honor you, that we would tell people about you and all the extraordinary things that you've done. Pray that you would receive the honor and glory. Amen.
Okay.